Today's daf is daf chof beis. We're holding on the mishnah. Hey, the commissioner chof aleph omet beis. A kelev et lahagidi shekavtsu mirosh hagar v'shavlu et hakelim v'shalim nezek shalim yipeshen moedim. So if you have now a dog or a kid, if they jump down from the top of a roof and break kelim that are on the ground in the rishus of the nezek, this is considered to be normal behavior, and therefore it's a told of regel. And since it's a rishus nezek, the tashlumim are normal tashlumim of nezek shalim. Hakelim shenatal charara. The case that we had earlier, in which we had even an expansion in the Braita about a machlokas Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim on this point, in the Mishnah we only have the sheet of the Tanna Kamma, that if a dog takes a charara, which in Abba's words was a marshmallow, although I really don't know if dogs like marshmallows, but this was a charara, this was a piece of bread that's on the actual coals, and therefore it often will come along with coals. So here it took the bread, we're assuming now that it had coals attached, went now to an area where it could sit comfortably on hay, and it eats the bread, and meanwhile it's madlik, the gadish. So it burns down now the area, the silo where the hay was. So the din there is ala charara, mishalim nezek shalim. So as far as the eating of the charara, that shein brushut anizek. And therefore, it pays nezek shalim. Masha enkein, when it comes to burning down the gadish, on that is v'shalim chatzi nezek, if it's not quite clear why is v'shalim chatzi nezek. And of course, this really creates a whole new issue, which is, what is the relationship of ish to mamon? Because after all, when it comes to bor, if you're sure would make a bor, we had just before, that was a previous sugya, that ki yichre ish bor v'lo shor bor. Now over here, it seems that the dog is the one that was considered to be responsible, so to speak, the owner of the dog, for burning down the gadish. I mean, why isn't this similar to the case that we had previously? Except substitute the word ish for bor. Why is it so simple that there's a chiyuv of the balak kelev on the burning of the fire? So in order to deal with that issue, we're going to have to get into the question of what the chiyuv of ish per se is. In other words, when a person lights a fire, is that a typical case of momon hamazik, even though ish is clearly not literally momon, or is ish an extension of the dinim of adam hamazik? I mean, you could certainly see somebody fires a bullet. I mean, are you going to say that that's considered to be momon hamazik, or is that his direct hazik? Somebody lights a fire. Is that considered to be the equivalent of shooting an arrow? And suppose you light a fire in which people are in the house and you kill the people. I mean, you're not chayev misa for killing when your shor kills. Are you chayev when your ish kills? It would be momon hamazik, would it be chayev misa? Certainly, if it's an extension of adam hamazik, it's possible that there's a chayev misa. Is there a dinim of tsar, sheves, ripui, boshes, when it comes to ish, or is it pure momon hamazik like your shor hamazik? These are all issues which we need to understand before we can get to the question of the relationship of the ish to the kelev, because obviously, if ish is simply an extension of one's own energies, that could be true of the kelev as well. It just would be tsuros, because we second order energies. If it's a din of momon hamazik, where the heck do we come off with the idea of a dog having momon hamazik? That would be what I have the owner of the dog. So these are questions that immediately come to the fore when you read this Mishnah. So we're going to have to deal with that. But first, let's take a look at the opening of the Mishnah that talks about the norms of jumping. Because over here we're saying that if a dog or a kid, jumping is considered to be normal. But to the mashma'utids, and this also opens up an entirely new issue to us, that implications of the Mishnah is that time of the kafsu. The only reason over here that you're chayav because of the regel b'shut hanizik is because these animals jumped and landed on something that was in the rishus below, which belonged to a nizik, wasn't a rishus harabi. But suppose they would have fallen off of the roof. Hanaflu patur. Of course, when we talk about a roof, we're talking about any area that was raised. That was you. If you have your chatzar is raised above somebody else's lawn, which happens very often in mountainous areas. So the question is, if I leave my animal out there, and there's no gating, is it the norm for an animal to fall and not look where it's going? Certainly not. An animal usually would look where it's going. And indeed, that's the mashmaut of the Mishnah. See, if an animal falls into the rishus below it, and there's expensive things that are lying on the ground, the animal breaks it by the fall, the mashmaut over here is that the owner would be patur, because this is something that's not considered to be normal. But what that means is that even though when I let that animal into that chotzer that was not gated, was clearly doing something very negligent vis-a-vis the rishus underneath, because it could have jumped. It happens to be that it didn't jump. It fell.
But it could have jumped.
So now what you're telling me is that although I should not have had my animal up there in the first place because that was negligent, since the actual hezek took place because of an accident that was unforeseeable, what we look at is the way that it happened and not the fact that I was negligent in my shmira. Now this touches once again on the underlying roots of the whole concept of Bovin HaMazik. Because I mean, if the nature of Bovin HaMazik is, look, you're responsible for your things. It's just that if you did your best to be shame of them, so then the Torah says you're not responsible. Now over here I didn't do anything to be shame of them. I let them out in an area where they didn't belong. Now you're telling me, but fact is that they caused nezek by accident because they fell off of the roof. So now the question is, okay, this is Bovin HaMazik that wasn't watched. So perhaps it's chayev. So this is called chilato b'pshia. What I did initially, it began with negligence. But so far beyond, in the end, what happened was an accident. Or what do I look at? Now, obviously, this doesn't necessarily depend on how it is we view the nature of hezek necessarily, because one could say that the idea of negligence is measured, in fact, by the actual events. In other words, vis-a-vis the nefila, the animal was watched. I could say, my animal never falls. So I certainly did watch it to make sure it wouldn't fall. And it did fall. Now the question is, but there could have been other hezek. But there was another hezek. And you're coming to make me read. So again, this could now be a secondary issue. Is shmira an all or nothing issue? Or is shmira measured by negligence vis-a-vis the hezek that took place? But you can see there are various fundamental issues that we would need to deal with in coming to an understanding of Tchilat Torah B'Shiyah V'Sef HaBa'ones. Now what the Mishnah seems to be saying is that despite the fact that the same animal, had it jumped, there would be chayev. Nonetheless, from the same position, if it fell, I'm potter. Which certainly seems to be saying. So Alma Kasava, apparently the Mishnah holds, that chilato b'pshia, v'sof l'va'on, is potter. So here we find a Mishnah that seemed to be saying something rather trivial. And a question of whether it's a norm for an animal to jump or not. And is actually saying something remarkably fundamental about the nature of hezek. Because it's only the fall. And indeed, Tanya Namihachi, there is a brighter that expands on this, a killer, Hagdi. She kafzu mi rosh agag v'shavrut hakelim, mishalim nezek shalem. But if naflu, if in fact they fell, then they would be peturi. So we say there, heini v'lamad yom v'tchilat torah b'shiyah v'sof l'va'on is patur. All right, all of these diyukim are all very nice. Problem is that there is a machlokes amoraim about this, whether tchilat torah b'shiyah v'sof l'va'on is patur. If you hold tchilat torah b'shiyah v'sof l'va'on is chayav, how in the world do you work out this mission in Braita, Michael Amima? I mean, isn't this very clear cut? No, not necessarily, because indeed you have to ask yourself. The trajectory that the animal would follow if it were jumping is entirely different than the trajectory when the animal falls. So can you really say it was chilato b'pshia v'sofa ba'ones vis-a-vis the hezek that occurred? Because, in other words, suppose the kelim were in a place where, had the animal jumped, it would have landed on the kelim. But then if it would fall, it wouldn't have landed on those kelim. On the other hand, if it's in a place where it fell and broke kelim, I could say, now, wait a minute. I mean, there were no other kelim in the yard. So when I let my animal up there, I did nothing wrong. Because I made sure there was nothing that could have damaged it. The only thing that was there were these things directly at the edge. The only way the animal was going to get to that is if it fell off the roof. That never happens. So I didn't do a pshia either. I was careful to let the animal out only at a time when it couldn't have caused any damage. So then what happened was entirely anonis. So what you could say, according to that Mandi Omar, is that it's talking about the Bekarvi Kelim and the Gabi Kota. The Kelim indeed were up against the wall, is what I'm saying. The Chikavtse Bekvitsa L'Naflo Alayv, had the animal jumped, it would not have damaged those Kelim. In which case, Afilo Tchilato B'Pshiyalak, you don't even have over here any negligence whatsoever in terms of the damage that actually took place. Omer Zvid Mishmei Rava. You know, it's not, I mean, don't oversimplify this. Now, obviously, pa'amim, shafilu naflanami, chayev. I mean, you cannot say that the fact that an animal falls is ipso facto a raya that it's potter. I mean, there could be a case where there are things that you do that would actually be chayev you on nefilah. For instance, mashkachatla b'kota ra'ua. Suppose you do have a wall, but it's a poor quality wall. I understand. But the wall isn't the issue. An animal doesn't fall. I mean, what are you saying? My miu, that what? That the boiler lasukitaita the nofal arche? Are you saying because there was a poor quality gate around it, or wall that had been built around it? So you're saying, well, there, I mean, it's the norm is an animal jumps up on those kind of things and would have dislodged some stones. The stones would have broken the kelim. I mean, But for God's sake, that's not what happened. Now we're going back to the issue of the Tchilat of Shivas of the Ba'onis. I mean, that's what we were just dealing with. So are you saying that the Boila Lasuki Adaita, you should have thought about the fact that Nofel Arche, that some of those bricks were going to fall out? I mean, so fun, Nofel Arche. But that's not what happened. The bricks didn't fall. The Nofel Inu. So then we're back to Tchilat of Shivas of the Ba'onis. No, I'm not getting into Tchilat of Shivas of the Ba'onis. I'm talking about it. Now you can make things worse by making a Kotel Tsar. If you weave the thing completely without any kind of wall around the edge, which is enticing to the animal, so then the animal knows how to watch itself. But if you put up something that is not good enough to watch that animal, the derech of an animal is that it jumps up to ledges. So then what you do is by creating a ledge that can't support the animal, tsar over here would mean it doesn't give a good footing, either because it's too thin or because it's at an angle, Rashi suggests. Maybe tsar could mean also that it's at an angle, so if it jumps up, the animal's going to slip off. But in any event, that itself is considered to be a pshia. Because what you did was you actually created the situation where the animal would fall. And by letting it out there under those circumstances, you would be chayiv. So let's not oversimplify it clearly. Depends on the case. So, Tanu Rabbanan, HaKelev Agadi, the other issue is this. That when we talked about jumping, now there's different ways to jump. I mean, there's a jumping. Certain animals will jump by actually leaping. Other animals will jump by lowering themselves. So they start by putting their paws down, and then they'll let go and go down the rest of the way. Now, it actually depends. Let's say, HaKelev Agadi should dilgubi mata lamala, peturi. So if they jump up, and they go now in the direction of towards the roof, so then they're potter, because that is not considered to be normal. Here it means potter, not in the sense of it's being an ones, but potter in the sense of it being shame. In other words, what it is, it's Karen, and you would only pay chatzines, because it's considered to be mishumet, as opposed to the inyan of potter before, where we're talking about an ones gomer. Now, on the other hand, if they are going milamala lamata, if they're going now from top down, so then it would be chai. If you're talking about an adam, talk about a human or a tarnigol, over there, whether they jump in either direction, bein milamala lamata, bein milamata lamala, chayavim. Now, Tosfos says that the adam doesn't make any sense. I mean, adam is muad leolam. What possible difference would it make? And he says the only case that we would be talking about over here of adam is in a case where you left a retarded adam, or someone who can't watch himself, and now you give over the shmira to somebody. And over there, in Ochinami, then we have to measure what would be normal behavior for the organism of Adam, not an Adam that is capable of watching itself, and so on. So this is actually a whole different idea. So the reason, therefore, that we have to talk about Adam is because if we would call it a potter in terms of Chatzinezek, and that wouldn't apply to Adam at all, not this case of Mishnah. So we have to understand over here we're talking about question of whether it's considered to be an ones in that case. So there, it wouldn't make any nafkamina. Asks the Gemara, but Vatanya, HaKelev Adi Shadilgu, Bein Milamata Lamata, Bein Milamata Lamata Peturim. Here it says that whether you are going up from the ground or down from the roof, in either direction, you will be potter. Now I explain that. I mean, it's like a direct contradiction. There's, as we said before, there's the normal way of getting down, and there's the unusual way of getting down. So the apik mepek, what it's talking about over here, is that they did something that was mishune. So the kelev, in this case, was bizikira. The kelev jumped, meaning by taking a leap, which is not what a kelev usually does. A gidi, which a kid usually does leap, in this case was bizricha. It actually lowered itself down on its legs. So why did you say it's potter? No, we mean it's potter in terms of being an ones. We mean over here potter min ezek shalem, v'chayavim v'chatzin ezek, but since it's mishuneh, it's certainly not an ones, but since it's mishuneh, so it's chayav only here, chatzin ezek, and not ezek shalem. And now getting on to the rich area of this Mishnah about the nature of Eish, which we would have thought we'd find in a Mishnah about Eish. Turns out that the most important elements of Eish can be found here in the relationship of Eish to Momon Hamazik. Itmar. So before we begin the Mishnah, we want to talk about the famous Machlokis, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, which we're going to take now in a rather simplistic fashion, and only later will we end up explaining it more deeply, in which Rabbi Yochanan says, Eish HaMishum Chitza.
When a person has a fire, he basically is shooting arrows. So when you're using that fire causes damage. It's exactly the same way that we talk about fire when you talk about a bullet. Fire. That's what it is. It's Aish. So that this is like your arrows. It's not something that's moment. Whereas Rish Lakish says, no, your Aish is Mishum Momon. Therefore, with all of the implications, if it's Momon, it's not Chayav on things that a human is normally Chayav on. There'd be no way to be Mechayav the person Chayav Misa for using Momon Amazik. What's more, says Rashi, it would actually have to belong to you. No, wouldn't it? It would have to be Momono. If somebody else lit the fire, then it would be that person's Momono, not yours. Tarsus doesn't go for that very much. It's not clear how literally Rashi means that. And he says it would have to be Momono in the same sense that Bor is Momono. In other words, you would have to be the one that created it, and it becomes like your Momono. Okay, other Nafkaminas would be. If we're talking about Momono, according to Rashi, the simple way of reading it is, your dog can't own things. Therefore, your dog cannot have H. If it's chitzim, your dog can have chitzim. So it can have any other tzorot. It kicks something, and now that would be tzorot of the kelev. According to Rabbi Yochanan, then Eshem Eshem chitzim. So then the dog would be, in fact, chayav on tzoros on H. But according to Rish Lakish, there shouldn't be any chiyav on the H, which, of course, is the nature of the issue in the Mishnah. It says over there that there's a chiyav on the Godish, and that, of course, is why we're raising a question over here. According to the way Tosus understands the difference, it would be your dog can't have a Aish, not because he can't own the Aish, but because in the same way that we have Shor can't create a Bor, because it's Kiyukra Ish Bor Velo Shor Bor, apparently there is an equivalent limud for Aish, that an animal cannot have an Aish, not because of the technicality of ownership, which isn't meant literally anyway, says Tosus, on the Liberation Lakish. Fine. So now we're going to look immediately, first, directly to the Sforas, and then we'll turn to our mission. So Rish Lakish, by time of the Amak Rav Yochanan, why doesn't Rish Lakish agree that there's elements of chitzim in the fire? Amar Lecha, he says, look, but there's no comparison. The chitzav mikocho ka'azle, when you throw an arrow, when you shoot an arrow, how do you shoot the arrow? You pull back on a string. The string stores the energy, which was in your muscle, and now imparts it when you let go to the arrow. So basically, all we're doing is transferring energy. Now, how many stages we transfer the energy is irrelevant. Perhaps, we'll see later on that that's not so simple. There may be stages of transferring energy, which we even asked according to Sukhas. You know, how many levels down do we say it's strong? But in any event, let's assume that now all you've done is transferred your energy directly to the arrow. Okay, so that, I understand, is your energy. Now, how the heck do you compare that to a fire? It's all very nice that you're responsible for lighting the fire. But the movement of the fire is not a direct expression of your energy. So it's not comparable at all. It's not logically comparable, says Rabbi Yochanan to Rish Lakish. And why, says Rish Lakish to Rabbi Yochanan, why Rabbi Yochanan, my time alone to Rish Lakish? Tomar Lecha, says Rabbi Yochanan, the concept of Momon Hamazik is never something that does not have tangibility. Momon Hamazik is always tangible. Now, how can you say something that is simply a different level of energy? That's all what it is. There's no such thing as a fire. I mean, what we see as fire is just increased energy in one particular area, which is happening through combustion, which is irrelevant. I don't care where it's coming from. The point is that how can that be moment of us? Because they're completely intangible. In what sense is it possible to talk about the ownership of such a thing? Maybe even a bar has direct consequences in terms of what I can observe now on the actual surface of the land. Even if you told me, but it's a hole. I mean, it's a, you know, I mean, are you going to pay for the hole in the donut? But that's not the point. The space itself is something that's visible. The change in the ground that makes the bore visible. Perhaps even the impact, I mean, of the ground. That we'll see as a focus later on. Those are all issues that are physically tangible. I can understand that we can expand the concept of the moment of Mazik into that. But to say that into something which is a pure difference in energy levels, and I'll call that moment of Mazik, the abstraction already leaves the concept of Momon and goes into the energy question. And energy is chitzim. That's what energy is all about. In other words, the way in which we talk about in the Torah the nature of the transference of energy to something is chitzim. So what we're talking about over here is a Momon Amazik, but energy Amazik. And energy Amazik, you might as well talk about arrows. I mean, again, that's our abstraction for energy. Something that keeps your energy in it and causes damage because of transferring your energy to something else. In this case, this other guy's brain.
They don't care about materials that are costly or dryer or things like that.
I didn't mean a minute. I'm sure I'm going to be wrong. What about those things? Why would that be age? That's not age. That's directly your gufa maser. It's not a change in energy. That thing itself. It's like hitting somebody with a hammer.
So there's having a fire where there's not going to be a flammable path, so to speak, so much of property. And there's having a fire in a place where it's very valuable.
We'll see it later on. You don't define your things well enough when you ask them. You take too much for granted. But the Gemara's going to discuss those issues about the difference between an ash that simply follows a path of combustible things or an ash that's blown from one place to another. Those are things that clearly we're going to mention later on because obviously it's a different type of ash. Okay, so now getting to our Mishnah, and this is, of course, why we're discussing this here. It's not. So our Mishnah says, the dog takes the karana. So on eating the piece of bread itself, that's typical shein, and it's chayev. But then it says a surprising thing. It says, idlikat agadish. So agadish b'shalem chatzin nezek. Now, I don't understand. Where the heck does chatzin nezek come from? I mean, unless, that's the first thing that strikes you, that what we're talking about is the kelev's chitzin. This is the energy of the kelev, which is the classic tzroros. That it is a tzroros, you pay chatzin ezek. So it's like the mishnah's a big red light that's shouting that there's such a thing as esh, which is tzroros for an animal. There's nothing to do with mammon. So bishleim alaman diomer if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan that isha is bishum chitzav. So then okay, so that's in chitzav the kelev. What you have over here, it's as if the dog was shooting arrows, which in terms of mammon amazik is called tataram tzroros. Okay, so the Mishnah is talking about an extension of the idea of Tzorot, and it follows beautifully the whole structure of the parak. We start off with Regal, we go on now to the Tzorot, and we go to the complexity of Tzorot, even though it's a different type of Tzorot. We had gotten all the way to the Tzorot that had come from the gas that was moved by the sound waves, which, by the way, Tosfos says, isn't that also? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan is saying that something non-tangible cannot possibly be called Momen HaMazik. I mean, we did call it Momen HaMazik, even though it was sound waves. I mean, why are sound waves more tangible than the energy of the age? It's sound energy. This is heat energy. I mean, if you want to get into the details, then ultimately the sound energy is making a difference in terms of the level of the heating of the molecules that it's touching also. I mean, what's nothing mean? So it's touching Zenokinani. But at least the source of that energy is tangible. In this case, the source of the energy is not tangible. Because all that I'm watching it is an ongoing chain reaction of combustion. Either there's no particular source that I can point to and saying, here is your moment that is causing, over there we got a bird that's causing sound to come out, okay? So take a look at a bird, here's the source of the sound. Or take a look at the wings, and here's the source of the movement of the air. Ashenki, when it comes to the age, it's completely intangible. This is tangible the same way the boar is. So at least the thing that's doing it is tangible. I mean, the thing that's doing it is intangible. Fine. So, but now we're moving on. So we got all the way up to something that is intangible in and of itself in terms of sound waves, and now we're talking about a even more abstracted deal of tzrorot, where the kelev is now transferring the energy of heat and moving it on. It's causing damage. It's also called tzrorot. Great. But according to Rish Lakish, how does Rish Lakish understand this? L'man yomar, esha mishum mamono. I mean, who does this fire belong to? Certainly doesn't belong to the Bala Kelev. I mean, the Kelev took a fire from somebody else, right? Now, that person, I mean, if it's normal for a Kelev to do this, so then why doesn't he pay? So it's the person who made the fire. And certainly, I mean, even if not, it's not the Kelev's mamon, says Rashi, or says Tosfos, it's not possible for a Kelev to be Machai of you because of mamono any more than it would be Machai of you for digging a bore. Because for Lo Sharva. So why would the Mishnah say that the owner of the Kelev is Chayev? Rish Lakish says, look, it's talking about over here. What we'll have to say is we're not talking about the Chayev of the burning down the Gaddish. We're talking about the Chayev of the area that was directly burned. That's all that we're talking about. In other words, where the fire lands, that's no different than when a hammer lands. I mean, okay, so that's Tzoros. And the fact that it's burning, that's irrelevant. I mean, a hammer burns, so to speak, because of its weight. This is burning because it's hot. But the point is, that's a direct nezik. So you say, well, if it's a direct nezik, then it's a nezik shuli. Ah! What it's talking about over here is that the dog threw the gachelet onto the kaddish. We're only talking about the place where it actually landed. Since he threw it, it's troros. Or, since he threw it, it would be chatzin nezik anyway, because it would be karen. It's mishuneh for a dog to throw it. Instead of just sitting it down. So in any event, we are certainly talking about a case of chatzin ezek. I don't care. You want to work it out because of Tzoros. You want to work it out because of Karen. Well, we're not talking about burning down payment for the entire Gaddish. We're talking about the place itself where it landed. That's what it's talking about. So on the Charore, you're Meshalek Nezek Sholem. On the Makom HaGashkalot, the place where it actually lands, you're Meshalek Chatzi Nezek, because it's Trorot, or it's Mishuneh. And on the Gadish Kula, you'd be Potter on anything that spreads beyond that, since a dog is not responsible for Eish, and we all know the Eish Mishubrinza. So in Achinami, the rest of the Gadish, you're Potter on, only on the direct area that was caused directly by the landing of the fire, the coal, on that piece. That's where you're Meshalim Katsinesek. The reason, of course, that according to Rish Lakish, we have to say that it's talking about that he threw it, is because otherwise, either it's Nezek Shalem or it's nothing, but there's nothing in the Mishnah would give you Chatzi Nezek. So we have to introduce this new issue here for Reish Lakish in order to be able to explain where the Mishnah would possibly come up with an idea of Chatzi Nezek. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's perfectly natural that we're talking about Chatzi Nezek. We don't need to talk about Adya Duyi. The case stands on its own. He went ahead, put the marshmallow down, it had a coal in it, and now it's burning because of Chitzav, and that's Tzoros, and therefore you pay Chatzi Nezek on the whole Gadish, and nothing else needs to be. Don't put any new information that doesn't exist in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan says, what are you talking about? It's very simple. It's exactly the case that it says. It went ahead, it took the charora had coals in it because bread that's baked on coals, very often some of the coals are stuck in the bread. So, Amchanuchi set it down, ala charora ve'amokom kachelet. So, on the charora, and of course, I agree, on the actual place where it landed, I mean, that's not tsroros. That's direct hezek. So, on the piece of bread and on the place where it landed, that's nezek sholei. On the spreading of the fire, burns down the rest of the gadish, which is tsroros, on that, you're meshalem chatzi nezek. Let's see if we can bring any further cases from either Mishnahs or Brises. That would be an indication of whether Rabbi Yochanan's approach, that Eish is basically energy and not Momon, it's arrows, or to Rabbi Reish Lakish, that Eish is essentially a form of Momon Amasik and not arrows. Tashma, gamal to'un pishtan. So you have a camel that has got a load of flammable flax on its back. And Pishtan is very highly flammable in its raw state. The Avar B'Rishut HaRabim, he's now transporting this down Rishut HaRabim, and he passes by a store that has a lovely display inside of these new beautiful lamps, all of which are on. And some of this flax moves past the door and goes into the store. And it then catches fire immediately. Vidolku, Benero Shelchenvani, and now it just keeps walking down the street, burning up the homes as it's moving. So it's Dalak now. It likatap Yira, it burns down a whole building. So over there the Baal Gamal is Chayav. The owner of the Gamal is Chayav. Now, if the Chenvani had put that fire as a pretty display outside of the Chanut, then the Chenvani would be Chayav because he is the one essentially that was Mishane. And he has to assume that there's going to be flammable loads going down the street. So there the Chenvani would be Chayav. Rabbi Yehuda says, well, if it was a Ner Chanukah, which over there you're supposed to be putting outside, and that is something that the Baal HaGomel should have been thinking about, it's now Chanukah, and everybody's going to be putting a Ner Chanukah outside in the Rosh Hashanah, in front of your door, a Ner Chanukah, of course, would be Potter. Anyway, so Bishlag Lamad Yomar Esho Mishum Chitzav, and then all of this works out. According to Rabbi Yochanan, okay, the Baal HaGamal has to pay. Why? Because the Gamal is basically shooting arrows wherever it's going. Therefore, all of the homes that are burnt down by this moving energy bundle is going to be his responsibility because he owns the Gamal. So he's responsible for what it is now that the Gamal is doing. But if you hold, like Reish Lakish, I understand. I mean, the Gamal certainly doesn't own this Eish. The owner of the store owns this Eish. So this is Lav Mamon of the Baal HaGamalu, or according to Tosfos, you cannot be Mechai of a person on a fire that's made by his Mamon any more than you could be Mechai of a person on a potter that's made by his Mamon. Okay? So how does Reish Lakish understand the case here? Amalach HaReish Lakish, the Mishnah is talking about here, Hachma Mayaskinan B'misach Sechet, Kol HaBirakula. The Gamal is not just putting things on fire, which, well, you're right. If that's the case, I'd have a big problem, because then that would mean that Eshom Eshom Chitzav. It's talking about over here that this camel is sitting there and actually lighting each piece as it goes by, which is the equivalent of the Makom HaGachelet that I said before in the Gadish. It's not that the fire spread. It's that the camel actually spread it. That means that each piece that burns is directly being burnt by this camel. In which case, we don't have to come on to an issue of either the mamon of the camel or of the chitzim of the camel. This is the camel. So it's no different than anything else the camel is doing. And therefore, you're chayev. Says the Gemara, no. Because then how do you explain the Hakena Seifa? How could you possibly say that in a case where he was burning it down piece by piece, the Baal HaKhenveni would be chayav, if we're talking about Misach Sechet? I mean, how could you possibly be mechayev the Khenveni on something that now the Baal HaGadol is walking around and lighting every house in town and going to say, well, because he took the flame from my store, therefore you, the owner of the store, are entirely the one who's going to be chayav. I mean, certainly the Baal HaGadol has to be somewhat responsible for this. He's the same level of Pshia that the Baal HaGadol, but the Khenveni was. So how in the world can you learn that the end piece like this? Why would he be chayav? No, the reason that Henveni is chayav is because it's talking about over there that the gamal was standing still. Kisha amda. There it's standing still in its place. It's just that it was holding such a large bundle of flammable materials that the entire place burned down. What's this thing about? It's even worse. I don't understand. The guy is allowing his camel. There's obviously an enormous fire going on, and this guy is whistling or playing tiddlywinks while Rome burns. Maybe even fiddling. So this is that you're making it worse, not better. Yeah, you didn't let me finish what I was saying before you jumped down my throat, for heaven's sakes. When I'm talking about a camel that is standing still, I'm talking about it's not standing still for no reason. It's standing still to urinate. So we're talking about over here, let's see, this is Amai Chayef Kishamda. Why should the Khenveni be chayav for the whole thing when this guy is doing something outrageous? Not moving it away from there and allowing the whole town to burn down. So, over there, for sure, the Baal HaGadol should be chayav. When an animal stands to urinate, you ain't going to move it. Why try to get that camel to move away? When I'm good and ready, I'll move. Okay, so in that case, indeed, the Baal HaGadol is anonymous. There's nothing he can do about moving this camel away. You're the one who left your ridiculous snare out there, and therefore you're the one that's responsible. You should know that camels do take a drink every once in a while, or an anti-drink every once in a while. And therefore, it's your fault, not mine. So now, if that's the case now, why exactly in the Reisha? Saying the Baal HaGadol is chayev, why is that? Now, the truth is we always knew why that was, right? We always took for granted the Baal HaGadol is chayev because, I mean, he's got this flammable burden on him that shouldn't have been overloaded to the extent that could have caused that kind of massive fire to get into a chanut. But as Tosef's explained, I mean, until now we were ready to accept that. If you're talking about Esher Mishum Chitzav, it makes sense that the Baal HaGadol should be chayev even though the fire is spreading on its own, because then we understood that that's no different than a Ruach Mitzriya. But if you hold his Mishum Mamona like Rish Lakish, and the only case is because he's being Misach Sechet, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense, so then what exactly is the Pshia over here? It's not that he necessarily was aware of the fact that this fire was going on and was being Misach Sech, so why are you being Mechayev him? So we have to say that the original Pshia, which is the true according to Rabbi Yochanan as well, but here it's a bigger Kiddush, that the original Pshia of having such an overload, therefore would be mechayev you, whereas in the Sefer, the Khenveni is chayev, the Khenveni is chayev because he shouldn't have allowed the flame to be in a place where it could hit something flammable. Toshma, hamadlik et hagadish. How about this case? Somebody lights, you were talking about a person, so somebody lights a silo of a friend. Now there's a kid that is, a goat kid, that is tied up next to this thing, and is burnt up. And he's got an eved that is samuchla. There's an eved that's sitting next to it. Now, obviously, he could have walked away. So there, if he's nisraf imo, he's chayev on the gedi, and he's chayev on the gadish. But if the eved was tied up, and the gedi was samuchla, and then he's burnt, he's putter on everything. He's putter even on the gadish, because since he killed the eved, he's chayev misa. There's no difference in the chiyav. If you kill a slave or you kill a free man, there's still chiyav. It's a capital punishment case. If wherever you have a capital punishment case, you're putter on tashlumi. And it says over here that you would be potter. Why? Come live in a rabbi b'nei. I assume, now, that only makes sense if they show me shubchitzav, right? Because you could be chayev for shooting somebody. But you're not going to be chayev if you're sure shoot somebody. So in this case, the bishop will not be show me shubchitzav. Okay. Then it's your direct arrow, mishumachi potter. But if you're saying your ash is nothing but an ashar, so to speak. So ash mishum mamono. So why would you be potter? Idukato ture avda. Let's say your shor kills an eved. You're going to say that you're not chayev for tashlumi. Okay, now you're going to be chayev. You wouldn't be chayev. Says Rashi. I mean, it says beferish you are chayev. It says you're chayev shloshim shkalim. That's the knas. Tanis Tosfos. I can't possibly what we're talking about, because I mean, what are you saying? That you should pay shloshim shalevet by an ash also? I mean, that's not true. We'll see later on. Only a shor is mishalim shloshim shalevet. The Re explains that surely you're not trying to say that if a shor causes damage along with the death of the eved, that you're potter on the other things. Because a kamlei b'rabbi minei, it's not shayek, it's a kamlei b'rabbi minei on a shor. It's just a simple svara. Amar lachar Rav Shimon ben Lakish, the only way to understand this, according to me, says Rish Lakish, is it's talking about that the guy who lit the fire doesn't light the gadish, he lights the eved. So he actually kills the eved directly with his fire. There, you don't need to come out to chitzav. That's like taking a hammer and smashing in his brains. You know, there's nothing to do with chitzav. It's a direct murder. So then what's the finish? I'm not saying half the name. I mean, obviously, there's commonly been robbing me. If you murder somebody, I mean, what's, and why bother saying it? This is a trivial din. Ma'alam Imra. Ah, the finish over here is Latzricha. B'gdi dechad v'yevet dechad. It's not about over here. That these things belong to different people. Now, you may be very angry at this eved, and you want to watch him suffer, and you burn him up after he's tied up for your chayim misa. But you might think that that won't make you potter on somebody else's gedi or somebody else's gadish. I mean, he says, it's not my fault he killed somebody at the same time he burnt down my gadish. So he should be chayev to me, the payment. Kamashma, and they come like a rabbi minei. Has nothing to do with the individual to whom he's chayev. It has to do with the actual maisa. So on this maisa, which is mechayev me in a capital situation, is not mechayev me monetarily. Okay, same thing, what about this case? Toshma. Hashaleach ha-tabeira, v'yad cheresh shote v'katan, patur min dinei adam v'chayav v'dinei shamayim. We had this case earlier. You have a fire, and you send that beira in the hands of somebody who's incapable of watching that fire. So it says you're chayav v'dinei shamayim. Okay, if you hold that Eish is Bishub Chitzav, I understand that this is not your responsibility because the Cheresh Shaita V'Katan are the ones that were shooting the arrows over here, and you're not Chayev on the Chitzav of the Cheresh. But Laman Yom Reisha Mishum Mamono, if you're telling me you're responsible for a fire that you lit as if you owned it, does that mean you'd be responsible for your shor? So if you handed over your shor to a Cheresh Shaita V'Katan and it damaged, we would say, sir, you were negligent, you didn't watch your animal, you were chayev for your animal. So over here, if your eish, according to Rish Lakish, is essentially your animal, we should say the same thing. We should say, sir, you had a moment of mazik, called an eish, you did not give it over to somebody who was actually legally capable of doing shmira, so you were negligent, so you'd be chayev. So why in the world would you say bepater? Would you say to somebody who handed over a shor to a cheresh shaita v'katan, and he'd say, well, I gave it to somebody to watch. You gave it to an incompetent to watch. I mean, that doesn't count. Well, you know the answer to that. But Itmar Allah, we already talked about this earlier. That Omer Eish Lakish Shmei Techizkia, that Lo Shana L'Kishu Masa No Gachelet V'Liba. The point over here is Ein Achinami. It's talking about where there was no fire. You gave over something that could be a fire, but wasn't a fire. So you gave him over a coal, which needs to be made into a fire. Now, over there, if the Cheresh Shaita V'Katan create the fire, it's not your fire that you were a bad boy for allowing children to play with matches, but nonetheless, it's not your fire. You can talk about morally being chayev, then that's b'dinei shamayim. But you're certainly not chayev because it's your eish. But Enoch Inami, had you given him an actual fire, masano shal heaven, you gave him an actual burning flame, then indeed, you would be chayev. It's no different then giving a shor, my time of Bori Hezekah. You've got something over here that is definitely a damaging entity, and you didn't watch it. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Eishu Mishum Chitzav, now we can understand better what Rabbi Yochanan was saying earlier in the Masechta, that Afilu Shal Hevet Patur, even if you give over a Shal Hevet, an actual flame, you're Patur, because according to him, We're talking about the chetz, and therefore it's the tzavt of the cheresh gogorim. It's because the holding of the cheresh, that's what causes the fire in this case, and the only way you would be chayev is if you give him not only the flame, but lo mechayev et amatzel gavz a silt of a shraga, you'd have to give him over something that would allow him to light something else. You give him over kindling now, which is the thin pieces of wood that allow things to be caught on, and the actual pieces of wood that are going to allow the heat to build up so that now the building will catch on fire, and the flame itself. The simple reading of the Pusik of the Braita seems to support Rabbi Yochanan, because what the Pusik says is, ki teitzei esh. Now, when it says ki teitzei esh, what does teitzei mean? Teitzei is passive, right? As far as the human is concerned. The fire is going out. Teitzei me'atzma. Nonetheless, it says, yishalem hamav irata be'era. Then it suddenly turns back and says, the one who is making the fire. I mean, so, is that a contradiction or not? I mean, it can't be talking about, if it says ki teitzei esh, that you lit the actual thing that was burning, as it says over here, it went on its own. So in other words, you were about to accept something in your own rishus, and now the fire goes ahead and burns it, and nonetheless, it's calling you the guy who burned it down. But you didn't burn it down, unless we view a fire as chitzo. So there, the simple meaning of the pasuk is that it's saying, look, it may be miles away, but so is an artillery shell. So this is your esh. The bright is also mashma, like Rabbi Yochanan, matinita tatanya, pataka katubnis, ke momo no. First it starts talking about momen amazik, because it says ki teitzei esh, mashma, like a shore, would walk out on its own, ubir b'stei acher, so to speak. So it talks to the difference of momen, and then the end of the pasuk refers to niske gufo, as if he himself did the damage. The guy who burnt down the thing that he should, I didn't burn down. That's the whole point, says the Braita. This is to teach me that it's as if you yourself did the actual burning of the object, and therefore in the case of an Eved, you indeed would be chayav misa for the killing of the Eved. Kelav agri shekov tzimiro shagak v'shavruat hakelim shalab nezik shalom yibnei shemuadim. Hakelav shenatal chararav alach l'gadish halach chararav idlik agadish alach chararav mishalem nezik shalem v'al agadish mishalem chatzin nezik. Time of the kofzu. Handaflu patur, amakasav in plateau, bipshia, vasav abanis patur, tani nami haki, kelevigdish kafti rosh agag, vashavat akelim, mishalim nezik shalim. Naflu patur, now all of this is only good if lamandi omatikalas of shia, vasav abanis patur. How about lamandi omakayav maikalamima? He'll have to say, you're going to mekarve kelim and agave kota. So had there actually been a kvitsa, lo naflu alaya. Therefore, feel trilato bipshia leka. Omrev zvid mishmei de rova. You should know that pa'amim afilu naflu na michayev. How is that? Mashkachet labekoto ro'ua. My new, the boy la suke daited in nofel arche. It's also a lo nofel arche, and nofel you. It's also a shiva vizova ba'onesu. La tzricha bekoto tzar. Tana rabbon. Hakelav agdi, shadilgumi mata lamala, pturim. Babi lamala lamata, chayavim. Adam v'tarnagol shadilgu, beim lamala lamata, beim lamata lamala, chayavim. Vatanya kelav agdish adilgo bein milamala lamata bein milamata lamala peturin tirgamar of papa da apik bepach kalba bezakira gadia besricha iochi amai peturin. No, it doesn't mean potter completely. It means potter min ezek shalim v'chayavim b'chatzin ezek hakelav shidatal charara itma. Rabbi Yochanan amar esh mishum chitzav resh lakish amar esh mishum amon. Veshlokish by time alomek Rabbi Yochanan, ovelacha kitzav mikokoka azle, alomekokoka azle. Rabbi Yochanan by time alomek Veshlokish, ovelacha momona it be mamasha. Vabha, let be mamasha. Tonight. Hakelav shidatal charara. So bishlem laman yom reshim shum chitzav. You could say this is chitzav the kelavu and therefore it's trorot. And laman yom reshim shum momona. Hay esh la momona debala kelavu. So because he ate it and it shaked. Because he threw it in its straw, because it's mishune. But indeed he's potter because it's not his moment. Rabbi Yochanan says, well, it's very simple. Directly is mishalem nezek shalem. Alagodish, which is his straw, is mishalem chatzin nezek. Toshma.
Gamalta un pishtan viavar b'shut rabim nichvesa pishtano l'toch hanut v'dalko v'neiro shachen v'nividli ketabira ba'ala gamal kayav b'rinia shachen v'nineiro b'chutz shachen v'nichayav Rabbi Yehuda ber b'neir chanukah patur sebishlem l'man yomer mishum mishum chitzav. So this is chitzav the gamalu l'man yomer mishum momona ha'yesh la momona d'bal gamalu. How could you possibly make the chenveni alone chayav? It's talking about kishamda. That's even worse. Omda v'zirzacha. Koshechein the chenveni patur ba'alagamal chayav. Omru v'nabar manuach mishpeta ravika akma eskinan kegon sha'amda lahatil meimeha. So the Reisha Balak and Balagam Al Kayab Deloy Boy La Fushi Betina, the Sefer the Chenveni is Chayav Deloy Boy La Lanuchi Neru Miavroi Toshma Hamadliket Agadish Vayagidi Kafutlo Evet Samuchlo Venisrafimo Chayav Evet Kafutlo Vegidi Samuchlo Venisrafimo Potur. So Bishlam El Amar Eishem Mishum Chitzav It's Potur because it came like a bit of Rabbi Minay. But Lomad the Amar Eishem Mishum Amono Amay Potur Ilu Kota Turei Avdoch and Amilu Mechayim. We're over there for sure. It's come. They've been robbing me. So Yachim Ayla Meimra. Let's see. A big deed. We have to the chad. And nonetheless, your potter mishum came late. Been robbing me. Toshba. Hashaleach at abeira. Biyad chere shotev katan. Patur min dinei adam v'chayav dinei shamayim. The bishul and the man dorma. Eishu mishum chitzav. I understand why your potter because chitzav the chere shu. But according to the man dorma, eishu mishum amono. It's no different than a shor. Ilu masar shorah. You're going to tell me, Achanami lo b'chayim? Are you to bring Allah and Rish Lakish? We should make the chizkits. Talking about over here, lo shenik shemas lo gachelet v'liba. That's not a shore. Avo basar lo shal hevet. That indeed would be the equivalent of a shore. Then you would be chayim. My time, Abor Yezeka. Rabbi Yochanan holds even a shal hevet you'd be potter. Because he holds kasav at safta the cherish kagorim lo. Where would you be b'chayim? Lo b'chayim? The mosli gavs a silt of a shraga. Omar Rava Krom Matita Misayele Le Rav Yochanan. Krodiktiv ki teitzei esh. Teitzei is mashma miatzma. And then it says Yishalem HaMavir at HaBeira, which means it's his direct burning. Shma min esha b'shub chitzah. Matnita de Tanya. Pataka katuv ben iske momono. V'siyem ben iske guvo. As if he was a Mavir at HaBeira. Lomar lacha esha b'shub chitzah.